Father, I thank you for your word today, that it is life-changing and it has power in it, Lord, to do a great work in our hearts and lives today. I ask you, Father, that you would help me, that in my weakness I would be strong, that your power would rest upon me today. And I pray, Father, for hearing ears, Lord, hearts that are open and receptive to the word of God, that we might truly be changed by it and it accomplish in us all that you have sent it to do. I pray, Father, that it'll bring forth a great harvest in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, we are in a series just titled, It Works. There are a lot of things in this world that just don't work. And there's a lot of religion in this world that doesn't work. People get disillusioned. Sometimes they lose their faith and don't even believe in God anymore. But it is not because God has failed them or God's word has failed them, but it is because the teachings of men have failed them. There are some things that really do work. And in this series, we're just kind of focusing on the big things. There are literally 1,000 things, truths that I could share from the Word of God that work. But we're just focusing on the big things. And this morning, we're going to talk about the Word. The Word works. Now, that's a big subject, and so that's why we got to go fast. And I'm just going to hit the main points this morning. But I want you to understand that if you want something that will work in your life, something that makes your faith real, your relationship with God, something that's really life-changing and really impacts your life, let me tell you, the Word works. We talked about faith works last week. When we believe, it opens the doors to all kinds of blessings and miracles being fulfilled in our life. But you gotta believe. We're going to start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," and I want you to know that that is my priority, is to always preach the word. My opinion is not what people need to hear. Just stories and jokes is not what people need to hear. What people need is the life-changing Word of God. And so that's what I want to always be able to say, is that I have preached the Word. But he says, you received the Word of God, which you heard from us. You welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now notice, they received it as it is, the Word of God. And that's my challenge to you always. For me, it is to always preach the word. My challenge to you is that you always receive it as it is, the word of God. See, we can take or leave the opinion of man, but when it comes to the word of God, we have to be careful to embrace it and to receive it, to believe it. And notice here, he says, it works effectively in you who believe. Faith works. If the Word of God is going to work in you, you got to believe. It doesn't work in everybody. It works effectively in those who believe. But notice this. It says the Word of God works effectively. It works. I'm telling you, if you'll take the principles of this book and put them into practice in your life, it works. It always works. It's not a sometimes, maybe, kind of, it works. I'm telling you, when we believe and we live by the principles of God's Word, it really works. Before we really get into this message, I want to just make sure that you know what and who we're talking about. You know, we live in this real religious culture where it's not just okay, it's kind of cool to say, I love Jesus. And it's even kind of cool, especially here in the Bible Belt. I mean, you know, it's kind of cool to say, well, yeah, I know the Lord. And there's a lot of people out there who say they love Jesus, who say they know the Lord. But if you were to ask them, so do you love the Word? They would say, well, sure. Do you know the Word? Well, not really, you know. But I have a relationship with God. I mean, I know the Lord. Listen, we need to understand that Jesus is the Word. If you know Jesus, then you ought to know the Word. Because when you know the Word, you know Jesus. Now see, that sounds so foreign to some people because they don't even know that. I'm telling you, last week we shared the scripture from 1 John that says that there are three witnesses in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Here's one from the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, do you think that the Word might be important? "And the Word was God." I know that rocks some people's theology, but that's what the Bible says. The Word was God. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made." You see, it's through the Word that God spoke everything into being. But you need to understand this, that Word, John 1:14 says, was made flesh and dwelt among us. "And we beheld His glory, the only begotten of the Father." It's Jesus, the Word made flesh. So when we talk about the Word, we're not just talking about some words on pretty pages with gold edges and covered in leather. We're talking about the living Word of God. The Word works because there's great power in it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful." It's not a dead book. It's not outdated. It has life in it, and it has the power in it to change your life. You know, religion based on the teaching of man doesn't work. It tries to reform through rules and boundaries. And if we can just teach you enough, then hopefully we can change you a little bit and make your life a little better. But I'm telling you, God wants to transform our lives, not just make them a little better. He wants our lives to be totally different. See, religion always fails because when people are prideful before they get religion, they're still prideful after they get religion. In fact, a lot of the time it's just turned up two or three notches because there's nothing more prideful than a religious person. When people are hateful and then they get religion, it doesn't change their heart. They're still hateful. In fact, they make great religious zealots who hate people. And I'm not just talking about other faiths. I've met a lot of Christians that were full of hate. And the way they talk about people and the things they say about lost people. And you know, there's immoral people, unregenerate people in this world. And they talk about those people awful. Wrong spirit. Just because they got religion didn't change the heart. And you know, when people are greedy before they get religion, they're still greedy after. But you see, the Word of God transforms. It doesn't just reform. It changes us from the inside out. It has that power to transform a life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." Having been born again. Now, there's a phrase that gets made fun of, not only by other religions, but even by some Christians, being born again. But you see, it speaks of a brand new life, a new creation in Christ, not just being reformed, but being transformed. But he says, he tells us how that happened. He says, "Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible." He's talking about the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Jesus tells a parable about a sower who went out to sow the seed. And then he explains the parable and he says, the seed is the Word of God. And here in 1 Peter 1:23, he says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, when you believe, You got to believe. It doesn't work in you if you don't believe. But when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God who took away your sins, then you are born again. That seed of the Word of God received in your heart is an incorruptible seed. The Bible says it will live and abide forever. You're transformed. You're changed from the inside out. I'm telling you, the Word is what changes lives. That's what really works. But you got to believe the Word. You know, when it comes to the promises of God, a lot of people know about them. Well, some people don't even know about them. But a lot of people know about them, but they don't really have them down in their heart. They're not really believing those promises. And believing is the key to being able to receive so many of the blessings and the promises that God has for us. But their minds are too full of doubts. They want to believe, but I want to tell you, just trying harder to believe doesn't always work. No, what does work is when you are constantly putting the Word of God in your heart. Listen, the Word works because it will bring faith to your heart. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come? It comes by hearing. It comes by receiving and receiving from the Word of God. You got to get this. Little word, little faith. You want more faith? You need to start getting more of the Word. Listen, in this world, we are surrounded every day by 1,000 voices of doubt and unbelief. Our minds get so saturated and filled with all of the negative things around us. The only way that you can have great faith is if you're constantly putting the Word in. You're listening to it. You're hearing it. You're reading it. You're meditating on it. And when you do that, your faith gets stronger and stronger. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, there's so many great promises in the Bible, and they are all available to us. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All of the promises of God in Christ are yes. Now, here's what religion says. No, all those promises were for just back then. And they come up with these weird theological terms like cessation and, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. And they end up with a faithless, powerless religion denying the power of God. But the Bible says, see, the Bible never says God doesn't do that. The Bible never says that God stopped doing that. What the Bible says is that all of the promises of God are yes and amen. Our job is just to say amen. Our job is just to agree with the promises of God. All we have to do is believe those promises. Every one of them is available to us. I told you last week that doubt and unbelief is cheap and easy. If you're going to believe God, I'm telling you, you're going to be going against not just a secular culture, but a religious culture. Because it's cheap and easy to not ever believe and not ever stand on the promises of God. Oh, but how precious are these promises that are available to us? And the key is that we believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And so we've got to surround ourselves with Bible preaching, the Word of God, and dig into the Scripture in our devotional time and fill our hearts and minds with His Word. I'm telling you, faith will come. Let me just give you an example this morning. We all know that we should have peace. As a Christian, surely we shouldn't be just like the world where Christians have to have a glass of wine or a Valium in order to be able to relax. And I'm sorry if I'm getting on your toes. I love you and I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way, that God has made provision for us to be able to have peace. In fact, Jesus Himself gives us a promise in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You say, "But Pastor, I got all these problems and you don't know what I'm going through." I know what the disciples were about to go through. Because they were about to watch him be taken and crucified. But he tells them that he has given them his peace. Oh, what a promise of peace. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share a few more verses with you about peace. That doesn't mean that you're going to have perfect peace when you walk out of this building this morning. I'm just scratching the surface. You need to understand that if you'll get a hold of the promises of the Word of God about peace, and you begin to fill your heart and mind with those promises, and you meditate on them over and over again, that you'll actually start believing those promises. You'll be saying, Lord, I thank you for your peace. You said you'd give me peace, and I receive it. Thank you for that peace. Peace that the world can't take away. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. See, the more time you spend in God's word, the greater your peace is going to be. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, the more that your mind is on him, you're filling your heart and mind with the word of God, you can actually have perfect peace. Wow. Not just enough peace to make it through the day. Perfect peace. One more about peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, to be in that place where you're not anxious about anything, you're not worried about anything, you're not upset about anything, and that promise is for us. You see, if we'll pray with thanksgiving, we can actually have that peace. But you start filling your heart and mind with those promises, and you just keep them before you all the time, and it won't be long until you're actually believing and walking in that peace. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word works because it will clean you up. You know anybody that needs to be cleaned up? Some of you, you're sitting next to somebody, you're thinking, yep. Don't clean them up yourself. You know, it's really cool. Jesus made us fishers of men. We catch them, but he cleans them. Best kind of fishing. You don't have to clean them. That's what he does. We just do our part, and we let God do the sanctifying. We let God do the cleaning up. Now, how many of you have cleaned up a little bit since you got saved? Oh, I remember back when I first got saved. Now, some of you would have said, well, you must not have got saved. But after I first got saved, I still cussed. Some of you are thinking, what? And some of you are thinking, yeah, so I do that. And one day, I said a cuss word, have no idea what it was, I don't remember. I was changing a tire. Isn't it funny how, you know, you bang a thumb or something, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Holy Spirit just convicted me that wasn't right. And I'm just telling you that we need to be cleaned up, and the Word will clean you up. In John 15 and 3, Jesus tells the disciples, you are already clean through the word that I have spoken to you. It's amazing how we can have sin or things that are, well, it's all sin. We kind of change, make it sound nicer, like things that are wrong in our life, that's also sin. We can have sin, things that are wrong in our life, and we're just going along and just in ignorance or sometimes in willful disobedience, but just not really letting God have his way in our life. But when we hear the word and it convicts us, it changes us. John 17, 16 and 7, Jesus prays, they are not of the world just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. See, the truth is what cleans people up, and his word is truth. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that Jesus is preparing for himself a glorious church, a church without spot or wrinkle or any such blemish. And how is he doing that? He says, by the washing of the water of the word. See, a lot of people are critical of the church because it has a lot of faults and flaws, but I'm telling you, Jesus is preparing for himself a glorious church, a bride, and he's doing it by the washing of the water of the word. That's why we need to always preach the word. That's what helps people. That's what makes people into what God wants them to be. You know, we all struggle with personal weaknesses at times, but we need to look to the word of God. It has the power in it that we need to overcome personal weakness. In Psalms 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I'm telling you, the word of God will show you where you're missing it. It'll show you what you need to do different. You can be thinking, well, my spouse needs to change and they need to do this and they need to do that. And you start reading your Bible and all of a sudden, the word will show you where you need to change. It just has that power in it. He says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, the more that you put the word down in your heart, the more it's going to help you really live for God and do what you're supposed to do. When you're trying to get victory over some sin in your life, sometimes we can, you know, kind of fall back into Romans 7 where Paul says, the things that I hate, that's what I end up doing. But he was talking about before he was born again. He was talking about under the works of the law, trying to be good. I'm telling you, as a New Testament born-again believer, we're supposed to have victory over sin. We're supposed to get victory over our weaknesses. And the Word of God has a power in it to help you to do that. When temptation comes, you need to be loaded for bear. You need to be ready. You need to be armed. And especially if there's an area where you know that you struggle, you know that you're weak, then you need to fill up with the Word of God. The Word of God, Ephesians 6 tells us, is the sword of the Spirit. And so if you're going to resist temptation, if you're going to win that battle, how are you going to do it? With the Word of God. You know why I'm saying that? Because that's the way Jesus did it. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Tempted in every way, and yet he never sinned. So I think Jesus is a good example, don't you? Every time Satan tempted Jesus, here's what he said. It is written. Whatever temptation you face, whatever struggle you face, you need to be ready with an it is written. Enough of this lazy Christianity that doesn't work. The word works. And if we'll fill up our hearts with the word of God, where we're ready, I'm telling you, you can overcome temptation. The word works. It is written. Be ready to say, it is written in the face of temptation. The word works because it has power to grow you. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And I'm telling you, you're never supposed to get to the place where you are no longer growing. Never supposed to get to the place where we think that somehow we have arrived. You know, there was a church in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 3 that said that they didn't need anything. They thought they had it all together. Jesus called them the lukewarm church. He said, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. We can't ever get to the place, whether we've been serving the Lord a year or 40 years, where we think that we don't need to continue to grow. No, we need to always be growing in our faith, always growing in our relationship with God in greater intimacy, always growing in ministry, being used of God in a greater way. Never satisfied with yesterday's blessings, but always reaching out for what God has for us today. Always growing, always moving on. But I want you to understand that growth through the Word of God, it doesn't happen overnight. You see, you sit down with your Bible and you begin to read your Bible, and then you say, well, nothing happened. It reminds me of these people that go to the gym and they go two or three times, lift weights, get real sore where they can't hardly walk and all that. And then they quit going and they say, well, that didn't work. No, the Bible doesn't work when you just read it one time and that's it. But it works when you feed your spirit every day. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's what Jesus said. The word is important. And as a believer, you need to be filling your heart and life with the word of God every day. It will grow you. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, if you stay in my word, he says, you are my disciples indeed. Another translation says, then you really are my disciples, as opposed to pretend disciples. See, which one are you going to be? A pretend disciple or a real disciple? A disciple indeed. Who are those? They are those who stay in the word. He says, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I'm telling you, we stay in the word. It's amazing how we just continue to learn and to grow. And God shows us new things, areas in our life where we were bound and didn't even know it. And then all of a sudden we get free because we were staying in the word. So there's a lot of Christians that don't have joy. They're bound up and don't even realize it. But if you stay in the word, I'm telling you, sooner or later, the truth will set you free and that joy is going to come. If you just knew all of the great things that God has in store for you, if you just knew how God wanted to use your life to make a difference, if you just knew all the blessings, the promises that were available to you, I'm telling you, it would fill your heart with joy. You get free. Well, let me give you another example. A lot of people are bound up in the area of praise and worship. They're bound up by the religion of man. They're bound up by what they've seen and done and heard before, or they're bound up by what's socially acceptable and what other people will think. But when you hear the truth, when you get a hold of the truth of God's word, I'm talking about what the Bible says about praise and worship. Oh, you can get free. You can enter into a whole nother level of intimacy with the Lord and experience God in a way you never have. But you got to keep growing. You got to be hungry for more. It'll grow you. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, it works for the woman of God too. It will equip you for every good work. Want to be used of God in a greater way? Oh, I'm telling you, the word is the key. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I want to say this. I want to clarify. I am fully aware, and I want you to understand, that a brand new Christian, somebody that's just been born again, maybe doesn't know a single verse of the Bible, can be a witness and a testimony and share their faith with other people and have an impact on other people. But that doesn't mean that we should be a lazy Christian who doesn't study and know the scriptures. Because the more that we know the scriptures, the more that we study, the more that we are equipped. Remember, it said it will equip the man of God. The more that we are equipped, the more ready, the more able we're going to be to help people. See, the most powerful thing that you can offer somebody else is the word of God. But you can't give what you don't got. And I'm just telling you, you grow when you stay in the word. The word works because it will guide you. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It will light the way for you so that you know which way to go. We all face daily decisions, and sometimes we face big decisions, whether or not to buy a house or a car, whether or not to marry a certain person, whether or not to move to a new place, or whether or not to get involved in a certain ministry. We all have all kinds of decisions that we have to make, and some of those decisions have such a huge impact on our life. But most people make decisions just by stumbling in the dark through trial and error. They just try this and hope this works. And I want to tell you, stumbling in the dark hurts. When you turn all the lights off in this auditorium, there are no windows, and so it's very dark in here. And I've had the occasion when I tried to walk through this auditorium in the dark, and I know where the chairs are, you know, I can do this. Man, did I get a bruised shin. Nailed one good. I'm just telling you, life is that way. When we don't look to God's word for guidance and direction, we end up just stumbling through on our own, and we end up getting hurt. We end up with all kinds of problems. Now, you know what the world says? The religious world even goes along with this. In fact, some of you are going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this is wrong. The world says, well, you just do what seems right to you. Yeah, that sounds good. What's right to me? That's what I'm going to do. What seems right to me? Wrong. Because the Bible says, see, you can either listen to religion that doesn't work, or you can listen to the Word of God that works. And the Word of God says in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. It'll lead you to destruction. It'll bring hurt in your life. Don't just do what seems right to you. Do what the Word of God says is right. You better stick with the Word, I'm telling you. It'll always take you to the right place. See, life is a journey, but where you end up depends on the choices that you make. And you better use the roadmap. This is how you get where you want to be. You know, a lot of times we want God to give us a specific word about a specific situation. And I've been there many times myself where, you know, I just said, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. God, I have to make a decision. You know, Lord, I got to speak to me. 490 times, speak to me. And I'm not saying that God won't ever speak when you go, okay, Lord, speak to me. But I am going to testify and tell you this, that almost always when I hear from God, when I get even a specific word about a specific situation, it is when I am reading, meditating, or hearing, listening to the Word of God. Almost always, when I'm listening, when I give heed to His Word, that's when He speaks to me. And most of the time, it is through a word that the Holy Spirit will cause to just come alive, come to life to me, and I know that God has spoken to me. If you want a word from God, then get in the Word. That's not hard. That's not complicated, is it? We want to hear from God. We want a word from God. Then where else would you go but the Word of God? The Word has power. It works, I'm telling you, because it has power to make you successful. When Joshua was ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land, God gave him this word, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Now, for success, for Joshua, success was taking the children of Israel into the promised land and driving out their enemies. That was the plan, the purpose, the will of God in his life. And I want you to know that real success, real prosperity in your life is for you to fulfill the purpose, the will of God in your life. When this life is over, if you have done that, you are a success in eternity. When this life is over, it doesn't matter how much money you made or how many accolades of men you have. If you didn't do what God wanted you to do in this life, you're a failure. So real success is when we fulfill the plan and purpose of God in our life. For Joshua, again, that was driving out their enemies and possessing that promised land. Joshua did that. He achieved it. How did he do it? Listen, God gave him very specific instructions. He said, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. In other words, you get your speech, your conversation lined up with the word of God. You're not speaking contrary to what the word of God says. Number two, he says you're going to meditate in it day and night. You're going to think about it all the time. Number three, he says, so that you can observe to do it. And when you do it, he says, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. I'm telling you, the word will make you a success. That success comes when we talk, think, and live the word of God. Now listen, education is good. If you want to be successful, education is a good thing. People will say experience is good. I mean, if you've got education and you've got experience on your resume, that's good, right? But I want you to understand that there's something better. There's something even more important than education and experience. See, some people are educated and have lots of experience and they're just weird, messed up people. A lot of people learn the wrong thing in education and they learn the wrong thing from experience. But even when education and experience are a good thing, I want to tell you there's something that's better, something that's far more powerful, something that works better in making you a success, and that is the Word of God. Listen to Psalms 119, 97 through 100. He says, oh, how I love your law. And I pray today that God would just give us a fresh new love for His Word, a hunger for it. He says, it is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Wiser than my enemies. How are you going to overcome? How are you going to get victory in this situation? I tell you, God will make you wiser through the Word. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Now, I don't recommend any of our students go tell their teachers that they're smarter than them. But I'm just telling you that the Word of God always is better than even education. I'm going to say it one more time for some of you parents that are getting upset. Education is important. It's a good thing. I'm just telling you what's more important, the Word of God. And how it is that we think we can just leave the Word out of our daily life and have success, the world's success. But what about real success? I'm telling you, you want to be successful, you got to stick with the Word. Verse 100, he says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. It's better than experience. It'll lead you to success. The Word works because it has the power in it to change your circumstances. We've already talked about how that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke the worlds into being. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 how that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You need to understand this, that everything that was made by the Word of God. This physical world was created through the Word of God. You need to understand the Word of God is a higher reality than the physical world that you see. And it's subject to change. The things you see with the natural eye are always temporal. They're temporary. But the Word of God will live and abide forever. It's never going to pass away. So you need to know that the things in this physical world, they're subject to change by the Word of God. Your circumstances can be changed by God's Word. Now, sometimes it takes a while, but it works. Sometimes it takes time. Jeremiah 23 and 29, he says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? And sometimes we just come up against a rock And we just have to keep hammering away with the Word of God. We have to stand on the Word of God until we see that Word come to pass. I remember several years ago, the church wasn't growing. We were just kind of stuck. Hadn't been growing for a while. It wasn't growing. And I read over these verses, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then he who plants, neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And I just realized, you know what? We're planting, we're watering, we're doing what we know to do, but God gives the increase. And it just came alive in me that God gives the increase. He's the one, he gets all the glory because he's the one that's going to give the increase. Well, the church has more than doubled since then. But let me just back up and tell you what happened that week. Nothing. The church didn't grow. It didn't grow the next week. Didn't grow the next week or the next week. But I still, today, am standing on that promise and believing that word, still hammering, that God gives the increase. I still believe there are people in this area that need the Lord. People in this area that are away from God need to get back in a close walk with God. And I'm just telling you, I'm believing he gives the increase. And if you've got a child that's in rebellion, going the wrong way, not serving God, you don't need to just try it one time. You need to hammer away and keep saying, train up a child in the way he's old. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train him up in the way he should go. There, I got it out. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Just keep speaking that word over them. Or maybe you're reading along in the book of Acts and all of a sudden you see that verse where it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household shall be saved. And so you start speaking that over your family. They're all going to be saved. If God did it for that one, he can do it for me. But you get a hold of that verse and you stand on it and you believe God and you hammer away by faith every day because that word has the power to change your circumstance. Now, Carmen and I have had the opportunity to do this several times when it comes to health. Psalms 107 says, he sent his word and healed them. I love the verse in Psalms 103 that says, he forgives all my iniquities and he heals all my diseases. By his stripes we were healed. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I'm telling you, we've had to stand. We've had to hammer away with those verses when our bodies weren't healed, when it didn't look like it was working. We just kept believing and kept standing on the Word of God because it has the power in it to change the circumstances that you face. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God says that his word will accomplish what he sent it to do. Now, I mentioned Joshua and the children of Israel earlier and how they went in to possess the land. It was through the word of God that they were able to change their circumstance. They were a people who wandered around in the wilderness day after day after day, living on manna and nothing. I mean, God made their clothes last 40 years so that when one generation passed away, the clothes just got passed on to the next generation. You talk about some serious hand-me-downs, right? Well, that was really cool. That was quite a blessing. And by the way, sometimes hand-me-downs are not that bad. Just saying. But that wasn't all God had for them. No, he wanted to take them into a place of abundance, a place that flowed with milk and honey. But it was only by the word of God that they were able to do it. God had promised it, and this generation, unlike the previous generation, this generation believed. And so they went in and they possessed the land, not because they were the biggest army, not because they were the baddest and the toughest, but because they believed God's word. And God is the one who worked the miracles, who brought the walls down and caused their enemies to flee before them. It was God who did it. And I just want you to understand that the same God who kept his word to them will keep his word to you. I love this verse in Joshua 21 and 45. It says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Wow. Not a word failed. And I want to tell you that God's word will not fail you. It will work. It's not working. It's not over. You need to keep standing on the word of God. The word of God works. One last verse, Psalms 18 and 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. So much reproach, so much. It grieves me in this generation where people are always casting a shadow on the character of God. His way is perfect. He has never made a mistake. He has never done wrong. And he is not to be judged by wicked men. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. Another translation says pure. But the Hebrew word there is talking about something that has been proven, tested in the fire. Just like when they put gold in the fire, you know if it's pure gold when they put it in the fire because the dross will rise to the top. There's no dross in the word of God. It's proven. It's fire tested. And I want you to know that whatever struggle, battle, fire you might be going through, it'll prove itself again in your life because it has the power to change your circumstances. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come to the front. Father, I just thank you for your word, and my prayer this morning is, Lord, that you would give us a real hunger for your word. You said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so, Father, I pray that we would just hunger for your word. I pray, Father, that we would desire it more than money, more than things, more than even food, Lord, that we would desire the word of God. Oh, that it would be sweet to our taste. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might behold wondrous things out of your law. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts through your word, Lord, that we would receive what we need for this day. And Father, I pray for the one who's away from you this morning. I pray for the one who's struggling. And Father, I just pray that you would strengthen them today and draw them to your side. And may you be glorified in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. And as we dismiss, I encourage you, if there's a need in your life, take advantage of this opportunity to have a brother or sister pray with you. Maybe you've come to this service and you don't really have a real relationship with Jesus. He died for you. He took away your sin for this purpose, so that he could have a relationship with you. And I just encourage you, if that's you, to come let somebody pray with you this morning. Maybe you've known the Lord, but you've just been away from God or not really serving him. There's no better day than today than for you to change that right now, to come let somebody pray with you and get back where you should be with the Lord. Start serving him with the whole heart. Maybe you realized how much you've just left the word of God out of your life and you want to make a real commitment to be a student of the word. You come. Whatever need you may have on your heart today, maybe you need to pray for someone who's sick or you're praying about a financial need, whatever it is, we're here to pray with you and minister to you. So as I speak a blessing over you, I'm going to dismiss you, but I encourage you to come for prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Lord bless you. If you need prayer, you come.